What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
2 days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on The Grave Talks, a journey into the paranormal, a conversation with Eric Vogel. Eric Vogel, or as I call him, Eric from Central Illinois, has contributed numerous stories to our other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, and I thought it was time to have a conversation with him so he could share his most compelling and personal encounters with the supernatural. From a near-death childhood experience that sparked his lifelong fascination with the paranormal to spine-chilling EVPs captured during ghost tours, Eric's journey defies simple explanation. Today in our conversation, we talk about the eerie and the heartwarming sides of the paranormal, revealing moments of unseen forces, emotional encounters, and a deep connection with the spirit world. Today on The Grave Talks, a journey into the paranormal, a conversation with Eric Vogel. Eric, I know you as Eric from Central Illinois.
Yes.
And because you have been sharing stories with us on our other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online. And I was like, just come on this show. Let's just have a conversation. Because with Real Ghost Stories, we never do back and forth with listeners.
Yeah.
And people who have the stories. And so I'm like, let's just talk about your ghost stories. And you've got lots of them.
Yeah. Now,
so let's go way back to when you were small. Did you have paranormal experiences as a kid, or did you just become interested as a kid?
So looking back, a story that my grandfather told me, and I think later on, as we get into this, it might make a little sense to you. But the dad went to like a high school reunion, and I was probably like one-ish, I want to say. And my grandparents lived on a farm north of here, like 40 minutes, and they were probably like a good 20 minutes from the nearest hospital. And I quit breathing. Like my grandfather said, I turned blue, was unresponsive. And he basically said that he treated me like he would a lamb that would come out and that wasn't breathing, hung me upside down and smacked me. And I came back to life. And I think that is something that they'll kind of been with me. I just didn't recognize it until later in life. So growing up, I really didn't experience anything. I'm a grave keeper. I've listened to the grave talks forever. Real ghost stories online. And, you know, some people are like, I had experiences, you and your house. Myself, I didn't. I always just read ghost books. And it was really my interest started peaking when a Ghost Hunters show came out on Sci-Fi. And I was like, man, this is awesome. It's like, you know, real, you know, they're doing the investigations and they're going through a proper process. And, you know, some things are real, some things are not, you know, and it was like, it was real. They're in the back of their yard in a trailer going through evidence and stuff. I'm like, this is awesome. And so that really kind of spawned my interest more into kind of the paranormal field. And my ex-wife, she had a talk show, and there is a couple people that had started a kind of a ghost tour of downtown, and they had kind of worked themselves into this hotel that used to be downtown called the Mid-City Hotel. And they had gave us a couple free tickets to go do an investigation with them and, like, you know, 16 other of our close friends. So I go in there and, you know, I got a recorder that I borrowed from my wife that she'd use for interviews, and we're going through it. Now, you know, I'm asking the stupid questions, you know, or is anybody here that wants to talk to us and blah, blah, blah. And got home that night and I just start listening through the stuff and I got an EVP and I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, it was clear as day, like this woman humming, and it was almost like she was like comforting a baby or something. And so I bring it to the people that were running this and find out that one lady was a psychic. And I said, okay, here's what I got, listen. And she's like, oh, that makes sense. Like, it was in the residence, the people that ran the hotel on the second floor, where the lobby was, and he was a singer, and they had a kid, you know, they found some stuff there when they were going through, and that kind of hooked me. Like, to get an EVP right off the bat your first time out was kind of nuts. And then I had a couple other experiences there where, like, I was actually grabbed, and I wish I would have kept it, because I was just like, oh, it's not an EVP, but it was an experience where I got grabbed on the elbow, and it was like ice cold. And I had brought my mom to do an investigation because she's huge into the paranormal stuff. And I remember the audio, and I was just like, here, grab my bicep. She's like, okay. I go, grab my forearm. Okay. Now grab my elbow. She goes, oh my goodness, that's ice cold. I go, I know. And went home later that night, and it was so sensitive that if I rubbed it against something, it felt like needles were going into my elbow. And it was like that for several hours.
And that's like a nerve pain. Actually,
yeah, I mean, it was
that kind of feeling.
Was really intense. And that kind of got me hooked. So I ended up running and with the people that were doing like these ghost tours, and they were doing investigations, private investigations and whatnot. So I was kind of like their EVP guy. And it just almost seemed like I was drawing them to me. And I started kind of getting like this sense of like tightness in my chest when maybe something was there. But I kind of was like, maybe it was just nerves and stuff. So that kind of began my journey into becoming and I call myself an amateur paranormal investigator. I've been doing it for close to 20 years now. And I tell people, like, if anybody calls themselves an expert, just run, because there are no experts in this field. You can be, I feel like that you can be somebody that is like a veteran or have a lot of experiences, but, you know, there's not a, you know, like a CPA or a designation of sorts where, like, professional ghost hunter, you know, and like, I just don't like labels like that. You know, everybody's, you know, trying to establish themselves and just trying to learn and find out, you know, what's going on out there. And I don't know. My opinion, I just think people are doing themselves a disservice by calling themselves a professional. But that was kind of the start of my journey down this road.
I do find it interesting with the difference in like somebody just starting out being a paranormal investigator. And how do you ever get to the point where you would consider yourself a professional? And the reason I say it like that is because there's so many unknowns in this field. There's no definitive answer ever. Now, I think it would be cool if more people work together. Like, I've talked to places that they have groups come in, and I'm like, do these groups ever talk to each other about what they got or compare notes? Because I think then you could really compile some really interesting information. Mm-hmm. And some places do that. Like, some places will have journals and people can write in the journals. And then other groups go in and they don't want to know anything, which I also get.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, once you've left and kind of see, oh, wait, we had a very similar experience ourselves.
And the people that did the Mid-City Hotel, they had a really good thing where they did a debrief afterwards. And they would ask people, did you have any experiences? Did this happen? Did that happen? You know, they wouldn't like say, you know, there's like, what happened? You know, what'd you feel? So when I had the thing where I got grabbed, I said, I was in this room and got grabbed and like my elbow was ice cold. And they had a thing of threes, they called it. So if more than three people had that exact same experience, they would reveal it to the group and then future groups that would come in. And she's like, you're the third person or fourth person that has said that, her being a psychic. And she was like, there's somebody that died in that room and they're reaching out for help. So I was like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. Like, there's nothing I could do for you. But I think that being able to document experiences in places, I think, adds credibility to the stories that people tell. I have like folders upon folders of like EVPs and videos and stuff that I've taken over the years that I just don't share because I think so many people are so cynical. And I get that because if you're not there to experience it, you can say, oh, that was you throwing a rock or that was, you know, Bob in the background whispering, hey, you know, and I don't necessarily want to subject myself to that. So and they're just sitting there, you know, and I mean, I still have files that I haven't finished going through from my last investigation, like last year, just it's very time consuming. And I'm like, I'll get to it when I get to it. So,
yeah. And I think when it does come to paranormal research, you also have to believe people. Now, there are times where people will show me a photo of, do you see what's in that window? You see those all the time online. Do you see the face in the window? I'm like, no, I really don't. But there's others that are very like, I see the face in the window. I see exactly what you're looking at. But I also have to believe these people are telling me the truth or believe this is really what they captured. So there's certain people in this world I'm very cynical of, and we all know people like that. But then there's other people I'm like, it's their story. That's what happened, and that's what I think with a paranormal. I have to believe the stories that are shared. Because, and people believe me, like, I'm like, well, I grew up in a haunted house and there's probably people out there like, yeah, right. But I can't convince anybody of it. And actually, nor do I really care to. It's just, believe it or not. So it is a difficult, it is a very difficult field to prove anything in and to prove that someone did grab your elbow. But you know what you felt.
And that's why I say, you know, being called an expert is very difficult because, you know, there aren't any baselines. There aren't any, you know, doctorates in paranormal investigation. It's kind of a loosely based field where people are throwing things out there. Everything isn't a demon, you know, a lot. And I tell people, I'm like, probably 90% of the stuff that's out there is just a residual haunt where it's just a loop where it's playing over. It's that energy. And I've had professor in physics at our college here in town at Illinois State. And I've had several conversations with them watching soccer at a bar. And I go, we're energy, aren't we? He's like, well, yes, I agree upon that. I go, where does that energy go when we die? He goes, that's the question for the stars, you know? And I'm like, well, I think this, you know, I think energy can be trapped. I think that stories were, you know, repetitive kids running up and down the hallways, you know, they had a really good experience in that house and that energy's trapped there, or something bad might've happened in a house and that energy's trapped there. So, you know, there's just so much that we don't know still. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for a couple hundred years, I want to say, you know, back in there were societies back in the 1800s that were addressing this. So I think we're just scraping the surface still, despite the fact there's so much going on out there, you know, YouTube channels and, you know, Twitter and, or I'm sorry, X.
I do that all the time myself.
So, but there's still so much out there and you know, it's just an influx of stuff. And I think social media has just put so much more on that. And you really have to, you know, when you see those reels or whatnot out there, like I always go in with a very suspicious eye on things when they're like, look at this demon, or they're saying, you know, I'm eating your mother, and you hear, rrr, rrr, rrr. You know, I'm like, what is that?
Right.
You're trying to subject me to what you think it is. I'd rather just listen to it and slow it up or speed it up or whatever. And it's nothing. It might be a chair dragging across the floor or muffler firing across the street. And so, you know, you just gotta look at it with a kind of a magnifying glass. You just can't, unfortunately, people are trying to make a name for themselves and you just can't take everything carte blanche. Like, oh yeah, that's a demon for sure.
You know, I recently lined up an interview with a woman, and we do it next week, and she wrote a book, and it's a book about paranormal encounters, but also faith. So I reached out to her, and she said, but my stories aren't scary. And I'm like, not all paranormal stories are scary. I like the heartwarming ones, too. There are heartwarming paranormal stories. And, yeah. You know, I think... You know, now there are places, you know, like Trans-Allegheny or any mm-hmm. of those haunted prisons. There's a million, I swear.
Missouri State Penitentiary.
Yes. And so you would drive by them and you can all but feel the energy from your car. Yep. You know, there are places yep. like that. But then there are very sweet paranormal stories I've had happen in my life, you know, kind of visitations from beyond. And I don't know how that works, but I would... love to know. I wish there was some way to figure it all out, but I'm like, not everything has to be terrifying. Now, if I'm alone in some very haunted location, the middle of the night, I don't know about anything would seem terrifying to me because as you probably know, I'm kind of a wuss.
Yeah. And well, I talk about this a bit, like if I grew up in a haunted house, I probably would have a totally different outlook on the spiritual world versus going in at it at, you know, 25, 26, whatever. So I definitely empathize with what your experiences were, not knowing, you know, like it's, and a lot of it, I who knows what it was, but, you know, I tell these people that I've gone in the houses and stuff, like, you know, talk to it, talk to the house, you know, they maybe they're just looking to cross over. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is just a residual that it's, you know, you really can't do anything about, I think. And again, it goes back to like kind of cracking that nut of what is scary, what isn't. And, but you know, you sit there and see a door open up. Was it a draft? Was it actually opening up because the spirit was there? And I think sometimes we tend to go to that, like, oh my God, it's a ghost. It's evil. It's, you know, just because of Hollywood, you know, all those kind of crappy Conjuring movies. And
yeah, just, I agree with that. I think it's kind of what we're trained to think, because if you've had an experience with The Exorcist as a young child, which many people did, you know, at some point they saw that movie and was terrified by it because it's still terrifying today, I think.
Yes.
But
yeah. I saw that at a very early age, and it really, like, people are like, oh, did you see this scary movie? I'm like, no, I don't watch them. I really don't watch them. Like, I don't know. I just, there's something about it. Like I don't even want to think about those things. Not saying it could open you up, but I think that it can put some things into your head.
I agree.
That could kind of maybe enhance what you experience.
Would you say that when you were on your first paranormal investigation and you got the EVP, though, you kind of found what you were looking for right off the bat? Had you maybe been doing investigations for a year or two and never really gotten anything, do you think you would have stayed as interested in it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's as my partner says, she's like, this is your jam. This is something that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. She doesn't quite get it. You know, she's like, how many times, you know, like I'm going to Ashmore State. She's like, how many times have you gone? I'm like, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 times. I don't know. It's just, it keeps calling me back. It's a place that I just love going to, you know, there's nothing evil there. It was a happy place. You know, there's a couple angry spirits there, I think, but that's just what their personality was. You know, I've had several conversations with, and I know you talked to Robin and he's like, there's nothing evil here. I'm like, I know, but you know, Ashmore States has always been I don't know. It's just such a great place to go to. And I went down there to help do a fall cleanup back in November. You know, I was just talking to the two girls' rooms, and I'll clean their room up first. And I was saying, hey, I'm going to make your room all nice and da 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 da. And any place I do go into, I always have Archangel Michael medallion with me in a little sack and keep it in my left pocket. And when I was doing some sweeping, like it was like getting hit, but I thought my phone was going off. And so I'm like, oh my, somebody's calling me. I'm like, wait, my phone's in my back pocket. What's this? And it happened like three or four different times when I was cleaning. It's not like I was hitting it on something. I was like out in the open, you know, and I'm like, oh, the girls were like, I think saying thank you.
Like cool that experience. Kind of, that like, kind of stuff that warms my heart.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
but it also makes me sad. Why are these little girls, are they stuck there? What's going on? Do they need to move on?
Yeah. I don't know. They had, from what I was told, they had one of the nicer rooms. It was the only room that had an actual bathroom, like a shower and a toilet and a sink in it out of the whole place. So they're well taken care of. You know, they farmed the land and they had, you know, big events. And I think maybe they just enjoyed their time there. So that's my take on it.
What do you think it is about that place? As you just said, it kind of calls to you and draws you back.
I don't know. You know, they have a saying, you know, some people call it home. And I've talked to people that are caretakers there and they're like, you're not the only person that say that, you know, is it a past life thing that maybe I somehow am attached to it that way? I don't know, but I just know I've gotten so many interactions there. You know, I've had rock thrown at me. I've been touched. I've had, heard disembodied voices like right there next to me that I've heard. I've seen shadows. It's such a fun spot to go to. And I think I think that's why. I mean, I always get something new every time I go there. So it's just, and it's, you know, a 2-hour drive for me. So it's very accessible.
What other places have you gone that you really enjoyed investigating?
So, God, this was, I think you said a while back you were going to go take a daytime tour of Missouri State Penitentiary.
Yes. And I wanted to, but I couldn't do it.
Okay. So, cause I was going to message you and I was just like, be careful. That place, as much as I hated it, I loved it. It is so dark and I've never gone to a place where I'm like, there is pure evil there. So it was this group that put it on. And so we drove this other person that I go on investigations with periodically. We drove like, that was like a 7-hour drive from Central Illinois. We went through a tornado to get there kind of thing. The first like 10 minutes there, we kind of did this meditation session and I just felt like all this sadness. Like I started tearing up, like ready to burst out crying. There was so much sadness there. And then we kind of took a tour, and then we're kind of left to our own devices. And so like, we're in this one group and we're in this dungeon place where like these things were like, I mean, so small. I mean, they're like 8 feet by 16 feet, and they'd cram like 20 people.
Oh
in
my
the
God.
Room.
Could you imagine?
And they had two buckets, one for food and one for waste. And like, you had to stick your hand in the bucket to figure out which one was which. And there's no light that was really down there. And my partner and I, like, we saw these shadows running back and forth. And I have audio of somebody going, "Are you sticking your head out your door? You know, we'd see this." And I'm like, "No, but there's something running." And so I just felt like I need to step back. So I was kind of from the archway. And I'm like, I'm stepping back to the back of the wall. And so I get made fun of by my ghost hunting partner because I have a fanny pack where I keep like batteries and SD cards.
Hey, it makes some sense to me. Joke and, away, but it makes sense.
And it got grabbed. And I kind of turn around, and my partner, she's just like, "Oh my God." And I was like, what? And she's like, "This thing just stopped right in the doorway and like spread eagle like a star and then zoomed into our room that we're in right now." And I'm like, "Okay, let's step out of here." And then like this girl just starts crying. She's like, "Oh my God." Ah! She like starts screaming and crying. And she's like, "Something just went through me and I just feel so nasty." And so they took her out, and this girl or this lady that was there on the tour that was like helping it, like talk to her and, you know, explain to her what happened. So then towards the end of the night, like, "Let's go back down there." I'm like, "I don't know." You know, like every bone in my body saying, "Do not go down there." But we did. And, you know, we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, like, we hear footsteps, and there's like, I don't know, 60 steps that go down into this thing. And we hear it go, "Choo, choo, choo." And I go, "Well, it looks like we have some company," thinking it was like a person. And then they stopped. And they didn't go up. They didn't go down any further. They just stopped. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, you know, being empathetic. I'm like, "You know, I'm so sorry that you spent time down here. There's such horrible conditions." And I picked up an EVP while I'm talking. And I just get such a sinister laugh. Just go, "Ha, ha, ha, ha."
No.
And, yeah. And, you know, obviously I didn't hear it real time. And we finished up. And I mean, but I had so many experiences there. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. But it was so dark, so heavy. It's a place that I enjoyed so much that I don't ever want to go back there. Because I know, like, I've experienced evil. And that was it. You know, Waverly Hills was like a complete opposite. That place, like, didn't really feel much. I mean, there's people that were getting, you know, treatment and stuff, but I mean, it's that's where they lived, and I didn't really feel anything evil there. A couple of the cool EVPs that I got there was like just breathing, like somebody's gasping for their last breath, and my partner, when I sent her the file, I'm like, "Listen to this." She goes, "That sounded like my dad when he took his last breath." Like, just a so we got some cool stuff out of
that. And in a hospital, I mean, you would have that sound.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was cool. I mean, personally, because I've heard a lot of stories come out of that, it was just not the night for them to dance, I guess. And you'll have that, you know, I've gone into places where I'm just like, there's nothing and I get nothing. There's other times where I go in there and there's nothing. And then I go home and listen to the audio. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you know, like what the hell?" Like, this was like right next to me going, "Hey."
And you don't hear it at all.
No, no. So those are like the two big ones. Like, I mean, there's been other places. There's like west of here. There's this place called Eldred House. It's in the town of Eldred. I mean, it was like, apparently they say it was part of the Underground Railroad right there on the river, you know, and that was pretty interesting. Like, there, we got some stuff out of there, but just, you know, people's houses and, you know, I just try to find the unique places that really haven't been investigated much. I find more interesting because I think you get kind of watching shows and stuff, the bigger places, you know, or like, oh, I'm going to experience this, or you kind of get yourself hyped up. And I think you get disappointed sometimes when things don't happen, you know, but there's a couple places out there I still want to get to. Time will tell. We'll see.
And don't you think that people kind of can feed off of each other too sometimes? Like when you talked about the girl crying and something went through me, sometimes I think when you get with a group, now you'd not like you were went there with those people, but sometimes there's people, I don't know, I just remember it in high school, and the girl, one girl would experience something, then the next girl would experience it, and it would kind of go that way with really no basis to their feelings other than they're just feeding off of each other. So
yeah.
So I think you also, as an investigator, have to, especially when you're with a group of people that maybe you don't know everybody too.
And I think that sometimes people have baggage. People might with that. And I think there's attachments, I think, to people that they're unaware of. You know, I was talking to the people at the Eldred House after the investigation. And I was like, you know, I really don't think there's anything too bad here, you know. And she's like, well, we've had some stuff that I think people have left, and it's like we were in the kitchen and it was down the hallway, this black mass manifested and started sprinting towards us, and we went right out the door. Never happened again, but it was just something that was there, and you know, I don't know if it's still here or not. So I do think that, and that I think that's why I still carry the St. Michael medallion with me, because just for protection, you just don't know. And I'll say that, you know, growing up, you know, I was baptized and went to church, but doing this has definitely made me a bit more religious, I guess you could say, where I do call on St. Michael for protection. And, you know, I say protection prayers before and afterwards, because you just don't know. Plus my partner, she's like, if you bring anything home,
I'd be right there with her. Eric, I swear to God, if you bring anything home with you. No, yeah. I believe that. Like, I do believe you can. So from when you started, because you didn't really, you know, your path is different than mine. We're all different. But, you know, I grew up being able to feel it, whatever it was. And you could walk in a room and it just felt different. And this energy changes. And sometimes I would be perfectly fine 1 minute and then I'd be running out of my house because I was just terrified, just overwhelming sense of fear.
Yeah.
And along the way, listening to you talk, you have developed that ability to sense it. And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Eric Vogel. If you'd like to share your story with the paranormal, email me, carol@realstorymedia.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at the Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.